This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Six threes by Paul George. 4 second difference. LeBron on the fly. Got his own miss and puts it up and in. LeBron James gives the Lakers the lead. Great follow up in 16 for LeBron. George at one side. At the other end, LeBron. Two terrific all-stars, superstars, making their imprint on this one.
Terrific call, as always, by play-by-play announcer for CBS, TNT, Westwood One, and NBA 2K. It's Kevin Harlan with us on 105.3 The Fan, and a good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Oh, it's good to be on with you guys. Thanks. Happy to be on in Dallas, and listen to your station every time I'm down there, so I feel like I'm right at home, but good to be on with you.
Well, we love having you on anytime we can, Kevin, so thank you so much. It's an honor. How'd you like being back in the action in the thick of things last night, calling sports once again for the first time in, what, 20 weeks?
Yeah, a long time. It was fun. I enjoyed it. We miss the fans. I think NFL fans, NFL viewers, people that follow the league are going to notice that right off the bat. What the NBA has done is nothing short of miraculous. I'm just stunned. And with the help of the TV partners, ESPN and TNT, they have constructed basically three different studios to play basketball games in that have an arena-like feel without the fans and trying to improvise. I mean, they're adding something every day to these venues, whether it's more crowd noise or more video boards or less this and more that, whatever it might be. You know, they are really going after it, and they're doing a terrific job. I, if nothing else, the effort and the attempt to do something that's never been done before is just mesmerizing. So I respect the heck out of what the league has done and how they've tried to put together something that will finish what will look like a regular season. And quite honestly, it's going to have a different feel to it, but it may be the purest champion we've ever had, because there will be no travel. There will be no home court advantage. Everything's on a neutral floor. It's like a laboratory. So if you're a good team, well-coached, focused and prepared and disciplined and all the things you need to be a champion, it's going to show. It will not get shoved aside.
So what's your experience like? How is it different? Are you in like that second stage of bubbled where you can come and go, but you're not having interaction with the people? Are you in a separate spot, closed off? How different is calling games during a bubble than the typical NBA action for you?
Well, you know, it's kind of like all of our society now. Some restaurants are open, some you can sit inside, some you can't. We can't come and go. I mean, us, Turner, ESPN, and all the national writers are all at one hotel, and which has been kind of great because you can see a lot of the people you read and a lot of the people you broadcast with, opposing networks and things, and that's kind of fun to. I had dinner with Mike Breen the other night, and so and we never get a chance to get together, so that was so fun and so welcome. But they kind of want us to stay here. They don't want us straying away. We can't get in a car and drive, for instance, further into the park or into Orlando. If we wanted to go to the beach for an afternoon, we can't just pick up, leave, and go. You can't do that. So for Turner, we're tested twice a week. I think the ESPN folks are tested twice a week. Your temperature is taken every time you come in or leave the hotel. There's a shuttle bus that takes you to the arena that you're going to broadcast from or work at or cover. But that's kind of it. They really want to, especially when you arrive. You can't leave your hotel room for 48 hours. You got to stay here, get tested, stay here, order room service, and your room is made up twice a week. They don't want a lot of interaction between the housekeeping staff and the people that are staying here. So there is definitely a feel of hey, it's not a lockdown quarantine. You can get out and walk around the golf course if you want to, and there is a golf course. It's right next door. But we don't want you going into the theme park. We don't want you going into a big food court area. We don't want you going to restaurants in the area. You stay here, and so we're all kind of abiding by that. And I don't want to say it's the honor system, but it kind of is. I mean, I don't know how they could track you, but there is a hotline available that if you spot somebody else. So if I don't like anybody over at ESPN, by God, I'm going to call that hotline. I'm going to screw them up on their broadcast.
Love it.
Kevin, please forgive my ignorance on this one. Are you seated in or near the same place in an arena as you normally would be for the broadcast?
No, they've got us up. So it's like a bigger high school or small college arena. And we're not on the floor. We're up like where the last row in a small college arena or a big high school gym. We're up about that far away, but then further back. So we're like on a platform that's set up at kind of the rim of the where the seating would be, and we're all in plexiglass cubicles. So it's like a hockey goal judge in the NHL. You see them in back of the net, and they're enclosed and plexiglass. That's how we are. We are enclosed, each of us. I'm in one. The analyst is in the other. The stats guy is. We're all separated by plexiglass. We have plexiglass in front of us that I can reach out and touch if I put my arm out. And then we're up. And about 40, 50 rows off the court and back. And so our vantage point is not great. And then below us are all the guys, if you've ever been to a concert, and you see that area where they've got the people that control the lights and the sound, it's like a pit, and they've got all these computer boards around them, all these sound boards that are all lit up and screens. That guy, those people are right below us, and they control the video boards that are 360 around the court for the players and them to feel like they're in something more than just an antiseptic gym. So those people are below us, and then below them is a little staging area where visiting teams, players that aren't playing, that are off, can come to the game and watch if they want to, like fans. And they're all socially distanced and kind of zigzagged in terms of how their seating is placed and folding chairs. And then there's the court, and then the teams are on the other side of the floor. So it's a little bit strange. You're looking through glass, you're off the floor, and you're back. So it's not, you know, what I know, I was long talk with Mike Breen here this afternoon, because we're kind of sharing notes about what we're going through, what we need, trying to help each other as we go through the different games we're broadcasting. And I was telling this morning, I said that the one thing I noticed doing the game last night is you lose the pacing and the momentum of the tempo of doing a game when you're courtside, because you can kind of sense when a guy is going to drive. You can sense when a guy is going to shoot, and that proximity to being at court, you know, at midcourt and courtside is really helpful. I've always kind of taken it for granted, but I won't anymore.
No.
Because you really, it helps feed your pacing as a play-by-play guy. Being back and up and off the floor, you don't get the physical sense and the feel of what a guy may do and stay in the rhythm of the play as easily. It's just a different feel.
It's the great Kevin Harlan with us. Okay, so the next thing I'm curious about, when we hear crowd noise on TV, are you getting that in the arena, or are the players looking at you while you're broadcasting because they're like, Kevin, like, we can hear
we
you,
laughed.
Dude. Chill out a little bit. Like, what is the volume situation like?
Yeah.
Well, people say that all the time anyway, whether they can hear me or not. They just know that I'm probably talking and it's a bunch of nonsense coming out. But I think that what they're shooting down toward the court is a completely separate soundtrack than what we've got in our headset. And last night, in fact, I took off the headset and I talked to our audio guy in the truck, and I said, I'm going to need more crowd. I think I told him to give me about 20%, and I'm going to need more of a bed. So when I do a game next week and get on the 13 games in 8-9 days or whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to get more crowd noise in my headset, because what you miss as a broadcaster is kind of that crescendo of the crowd, the orchestra that a crowd is with their voice. So, you know, if you say, here comes LeBron James, and he gets it up, you know, and then you have the crowd kind of fill in on the back of that call, and it kind of is like a symphony for a singer. And we don't have that feel, so that's odd. And I was talking with Mike about this on the phone a couple hours ago. It's weird to kind of navigate something that has been so kind of planted in your broadcasting DNA, and now that is gone, it becomes strange, and you've got to compensate in some way, and I'm still kind of working my way through that. But no, they can't hear us, and they're shooting a different kind of crowd noise onto the floor for the players than what we are getting. And if for whatever reason any of our TV mics would pick up any of that crowd noise that they're giving the players, we would just add that to the crowd noise that I think on the TNT side we're already adding artificially to the broadcast.
Very interesting look inside broadcasting in the bubble. This is Kevin Harlan. He was on the call last night in the NBA on TNT, Jeff.
Let me ask you about 2K. How long does it take to record literally everything you could possibly ever say during a video game?
Well, I've done it for 15 years, so they've got weeks, months of my work going back to 2005. So they've kept that. They reuse it in some form or fashion. And on a normal summer, when I'm finished with my playoff assignment with TNT, it usually takes me about a month to 6-7 weeks, and a total of about anywhere between 65 and 85 hours. So we kind of limit it to like 2 hours a day, a couple, 3 days a week. And they have just this year with all the separation and the lack of being able to go into studios, they have set up two separate little home studios for me. One at a summer home that we have up on Lake Michigan up in Wisconsin, where I'm in a walk-in closet, and they've given me all this equipment that was pretty easy to set up and soundboard. So I'm literally in a closet there doing that in the summer. And if I'm back home, and we live in the Kansas City area, we've got another closet that we have made this kind of small little niche with this little recording studio, headset, screen, and these computer things they've got in front of me that I don't operate. They operate remotely. And then when I do it with, say, Doris Burke or Chris Webber or Greg Anthony or Clark Kellogg or whoever is my analyst on that particular day, I can see them in the monitor. They can see me. And then the guys that engineer this, we have a guy on a farm in New Hampshire who's out in the sticks. We got another guy in San Francisco. There's another person in Washington, D.C., just close to Capitol Hill. There's another person in Boston. And they all are mixing and recording our commentary as we watch the video clips they give us. Sometimes they'll have us talk. They'll put up a topic, talk about, the Shaq era with Miami and the championship, or the Dirk Nowitzki era in Dallas. And they may give us specifics in that topic mode to talk about. And then I can see, say, Doris, and she can see me. Or I can see David Aldridge, and he can see me. And it's really nifty. I mean, it's these guys should not be doing video games. These guys should be like curing COVID, or they should be like sending men to Mars. Like
problem solvers.
So brilliant, and they're doing video games. And I tell them all the time, I said, isn't there a better use for your brains? Like for your IQ, should you be doing something else? Like for mankind and not this video game stuff.
The gamers are loving it, though. That game is outstanding, Kevin Harlan. One of the most
successful
games. Yeah, we're gamers here. And by the way, I am currently broadcasting inside a closet in my house.
Are you? So it's not bad, is it? I mean, when you come out of the closet, you literally are coming out. I mean, it's just but it really is. What is nice about it? It's quiet. Yeah. And if you've got clothes that are hanging in the closet, they serve as a sound barrier, right?
Yeah.
And and sometimes you turn, you put your face right in your suit. Mm-hmm. But no, it really serves the purpose for what we're all doing.
So you're a Green Bay guy. What are your thoughts on Mike McCarthy? Is this guy going to help take the Cowboys to the next level?
Mike texted me last night during the game. Yeah. We have, in fact, our summer home is right up the shore from where Mike has his summer home on Lake Michigan, up north of Green Bay. And the other day, my daughter and I were in our boat. It was a beautiful day, and we were just kind of going down the shore. And, Lake Michigan is a big body of water. I mean, it's like an ocean in the middle of the country. I mean, it's a big, big body of water. So, you look across, you can't see anything but water. But we were going down the shore, and I had been by Mike's house a couple times this summer, but never saw him. And sure enough, in the distance, I saw this guy throwing something into the water, and his dog was out there retrieving it. And the closer I got, hey, it's Mike. So I stopped the boat and turned off the engine, and I said, Mike. He goes, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm enjoying the day. And I go, what are you doing? He goes, I got the kids up. I said, my wife is back in Green Bay, and we're going to head back. And I said, I can't believe we haven't crossed paths this summer. And I said, no. I said, I'll text you when I'm home, because we were far offshore, and I didn't want to get too close. And so that was about 2.5 weeks ago, and I was doing the game last night, and I saw that I had texted him, and then about 2 weeks ago, and then he texted me last night. And I think he probably was watching the game, and so I was just with him, via text last night, and then saw him a couple weeks ago. But he's looking so forward to this. I've said to him before, I say, how many guys in this business can say that they've been a head coach for truly the two most famous franchises in pro football history? I mean, like, if you're the coach of the Green Bay Packers or the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, like, that's unbelievable. If you
just
do nothing else the rest of your career, you've been the head coach of the Cowboys and the Packers, like the two franchises that have the most respect, the most notoriety of any two in pro football. And he has a big smile on his face, and he knows, he knows what he's getting into. And I will tell you this, there is not any coach in the NFL that I've ever come across. Maybe Gruden would approach this There are other head coaches that we talk to that are close to it in terms of maniacal detail and making sure that the guy watching the guy is watching the guy who's watching the guy. Like he is redundancy. He is attention to detail. Nothing will get by him. Nothing will escape him. And I'm telling you, that year that he spent away from football and buried in his office, watching tape, talking to football people, visiting camps, talking about the game, learning about what he did and didn't do in Green Bay is at the conclusion of that tenure, is only going to make him a better coach for the Cowboys. I thought when it was a slam dunk. I thought you could not hire a better head coach. And I'm telling you, they've had some great coaches come through Dallas, but they've never had a coach who is as locked down and as focused and is into detail and offensive football and quarterback technique and what makes things go and dealing with team and dealing with personnel and handling a coaching staff, like all of it. Like he is a textbook example of if you're going to hire a coach, what you would get. I just think they've made a brilliant, brilliant choice.
Well, that is awesome, man. Thank you so much. It's an honor to have your voice and thoughts on our air. Enjoy your time in that bubble, and we look forward to hearing you coming up this football season.
Great to talk with you. Can't wait to get to Dallas. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir. The great Kevin Harland.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.